Hello and welcome, fellow osmologists to Osmology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're welcoming Lisa Schaefer, speaker, coach, and consultant. Lisa, we had the chance to meet and talk to you for a little while earlier this year at the Wisconsin Credit Union League Convention. And we're super excited to have more time with you. Why don't you reintroduce yourself to the audience? Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. My name is Lisa Schaefer, and thanks for having me. I am, like you said, a speaker coach, John Maxwell certified trainer as well, and excited to be working with credit unions in the areas of staff development and leadership development, and really working with anybody who wants to be 1% better in their personal and professional well-being. So excited to be here.
Awesome. Love it. What a great, so good at intros too. There's that radio experience again, right, Lisa?
Yeah, everything's in a sound bite. My friend's always like, you got a 30-second sound bite out of her every time. So short and sweet and to the point.
Love it. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't we start by telling people your origin story? How did you get to where you are? Not literally here on our podcast, but where you are today.
Well, excited to, like I was saying earlier, had the opportunity to be in radio for about 10 to 15 years as a DJ and as a director of sales. And I was doing that while I was working on my college degree and my master's degree in counseling. And I ended up finding myself in a classroom while I was getting my master's degree teaching radio and teaching, you know, again, the importance of being able to communicate effectively with people, which led me into a full-time teaching position. And working with psychology as educating people in psychology and human services. So I've had about 25 years now in education, and I was picked up by one of the local credit unions in Dubuque for training. And they're like, hey, why don't you come train and help professionally develop our staff? And I have been really working with them for approximately 6 years, and then worked with Wisconsin Credit Union with they're young, aspiring leaders. So had a chance to go in and teach on the importance of leadership and communication and really my passion for education and the credit union movement of helping people really culminated to where I'm at today, which is, again, a consultant as Shine with Schaefer. I started my own business probably 5 years ago now, right? As the pandemic was coming on. Why not start a business during a pandemic? Sounds like a great opportunity. And have been doing that since. So that's how I've gotten to this platform. And it's been a fun journey. And you know, if you would have asked me 25 years ago, would you be doing what you're doing? I'd be like, I don't know, maybe. But I really have a passion for really helping people. And I think that's where it kind of shines through. Yeah.
Love it. And you mentioned the word shine a couple of times. We will come back to that. But I have to ask. So we have a board member who's also Maxwell certified. Not sure if I'm using those words properly. And then you also mentioned this 1% better thing. I'm curious the origin of that. So two questions. Can you talk a little bit about the Maxwell leadership thing, like what that looks like, how you got into that? And then tell me about this 1% better thing. Is that you? Is that some greater thing?
Yeah, I love it. So I was working with students and really wanted to increase my leadership and was reading a lot of books on, you know, just this idea of leadership. And I was sitting at a pool in Vegas. This is the wild story. And my cousin was at a convention where he was hearing John Maxwell speak. And he called me in Vegas because that's where it was at. And he said, you need to get over and hear this guy speak because he has a lot of your belief system on this idea of really helping people and how you can use your influence. You don't necessarily have to have a title to be the leader and, you know, how you use your influence. So I got out of the pool in Vegas to go over to a session to hear him speak. And he just really resonated to me about the importance of caring for each other, building strong communities where we create psychological safety, where we appreciate differences. And he just resonated. And so I got on his email list, and about 6 months later, he started this whole training program where you could get certified. So I was one of the founding members of the group, and there was 300 of us that went down to his house in Florida, and we had a whole free-day training on you know, his material, his content, his curriculum, the 21 Laws of Leadership and Becoming a Person of Influence. And he has over 52 different books on leadership. And so had an opportunity to join like-minded individuals and really become certified in his methodology. And so that's where that came from. And the 1% Better was coming from the book, The Slight Edge. And really, if you know anything about sales, I come from my family are all salespeople. They really talk about, you know, don't focus on perfect, focus on one step at a time and how you can continue to be 1% better. Because too many times we get stuck in having to be perfect. So then we don't start anything because I can't do it perfectly. I don't want to do it at all. And it's like, okay, just get 1% better. Or, you know, you're going to start running, just run 10 more feet or, you know, so it's all about that incremental change. And that really resonated to me as working as a school counselor as well is really, you know, what can we do on a daily basis to just get a little bit better? And then it's amazing how those habits over time give you some great opportunities. So,
yeah.
So that's awesome. Kind of where I'm at with that. Yeah.
Love that. Thanks for sharing the backstory on Maxwell. And I love the one. I was assuming and hoping that that's where you would go with the 1% thing. I'm a big believer in iterative change. I am coaching 8-year-old baseball right now, and something that I commonly share with them, which, you know, I'm sure I've gotten inspiration from some coach along the way, is just like win today, you know, just like be your best today, take 10 more swings today, you're going to be better tomorrow because of it. And that's just going to compound. And, you know, I do think that starting that like belief in that at a young age, because we, you know, our world is not ready and now, you know, and I think it's really easy for folks to forget that strong habit and change that happens really slowly over time is how most good things happen, you know? And so I'm a big believer in all that. So I love that. Love that.
I love that you're coaching kids on that mindset. To start so young with that, because it minimizes some of the fear. You know, everybody's got, you know, I always ask, what would you do if you weren't afraid? Well, I'd start a business or I'd do this. Well, why haven't you? I can't be perfect at it. Well, you think everybody was perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Your kids, you know, you're starting them young with and giving them that chance. I love it.
For sure. Yeah. And whether we're talking about 8-year-olds in baseball or business people that have been doing it for a long time, I mean, for a lot of us, like, we're just struggling to put the bat on the ball right now, you know? So like, do that next, like just hit the ball somewhere, somehow. And then we'll talk about singles and doubles and triples and home runs, you know, like just hit the ball first, you know, let's work on that, you know, and
start somewhere. Yeah.
It applies in so many aspects of life, for sure.
Totally. Totally. And I love, you know, working with credit unions too, because I do some onboarding, especially with tellers. And a lot of times tellers are the first position, you know, in the financial arena. And this may be their first job. And they're like, oh my God, there's so much to know. And it's like, okay, what do you just need to know today? You know, and then we'll learn more tomorrow. So getting past that fear, because change is hard if you're scared and if you don't think you're going to be any good. So. Coaching confidence. I love it.
I first of all, let me just give you a plug for Ben, who is a great coach. But I also want to say, I just want to put a pin, because you brought up psychological safety the last time we talked too. And I want to put a pin in that because I want to let Ben get to shine. And then I want to make sure that we're hitting everything that we want to talk about. So Ben.
All right. Back on track.
You're an awesome coach.
Back on track.
Back on shine.
So Lisa, tell us a bit about SHINE, what the acronym is, tell us about where that came from and how you feature it in the work that you do.
Sure. Again, you know, really working and helping people shine is what I'm my focus on. And it stands for strengths, you know, share your strengths, have heart is the H, innovate, the I, network, and empower. So really my belief system was, what were those things that we can do to help people shine both personally and professionally? And it always was about finding your strength zone. And then you got to have some heart for it. Cause if your heart's not in it, man, apathy is setting in big time. And so it's like, okay, what can we do to really focus on what your passion is and share your ideas? You know, there's so many ideas people have, but they don't share them because they're worried of judgment. So let's just network with the right people who are going to hear some of those ideas and help you grow and empower you to continue to move forward. So it came from a story, and it's always, you know, this little personal story. But my grandfather would always sing "You Are My Sunshine." And so it's like, okay, so I was sitting around thinking, what can I call my company? You know, and my last name's Schaefer. And I'm like, how fun would it be to shine? You know, and I was in the theater and I was in radio and I was always kind of on stage. And that was always the thing. Go out and shine tonight. Go out and shine. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my grandpa speaking to me to call it Shine with Schaefer. And then he was always trying to get people to see their skills. And, you know, he'd always say, so what? You made a mistake. You learned something. So what? Who cares? You know, it was always, so what? You made a mistake. Learn something. And so I'm like, why not that growth? So that's where the name came from. So a little bit of everything together. And then to honor him with "You Are My Sunshine." So now everybody's like, oh, it's the sunshine. And I love the sun. If everybody, you know, likes go to the beach, and I get really a lot of energy from being outside. And so that's where that came from, the shine piece. So, you know, that's where I'm always asking people, you know, what do you guys want to do to shine today? You know, keep shining. Because you all bring so many strengths to the table. So let's talk about it. Too many times I always ask people, you know, what do you do really well? They're like, it's so hard to tell me what I do well. I can tell you what I don't do well. Well, let's reframe and focus on what you do well and how do we move forward. And I think that's one of the things too that I work with people and also companies is this appreciative inquiry and finding your strengths and then being 1% better in those strengths. So you're doing well.
Love it. I think one of the biggest insights that I gleaned from, and oh, let me think, how a leadership course I took, I'm sure. After a while, you take so many courses that you forget where you get all of the good ideas.
Yes.
But this idea that we, in business, we spend so much time talking about how can we correct our weaknesses? How can we fill our gaps? And we don't talk about how do we continue to develop our strengths. And that is what that makes me think of, is that idea. Yeah. Continue to build on those strengths and find, you know, I definitely had a leader that said, you know, you're going to have weaknesses. So you find other people to complement your weaknesses, you build on your strengths, and then you build each other up that way.
Yeah. Which is so key. Like, I am not the most organized person. But I find somebody who's really organized, and then I can, but she's like, I don't want to ever talk in front of people. So perfect. We're the perfect team right now. And, you know, that's why we use things like StrengthsFinder. You know, I love giving StrengthsFinder to people to say, okay, where are some of your strengths? And it's also a strategic process called appreciative inquiry. You know, what are you doing well? And what can we do 1% better in that area to make it well? So, and there's a great book, Good to Great, where they talk about that idea of appreciative inquiry, and the companies that have accepted that have done quite well. So love it.
Awesome. So, okay. So many things to ask you about. Another thing that you shared, we're not even to psychological safety yet, because another thing you shared that I wanted to ask you about right at the end of when we were talking was this concept of do it afraid.
Yeah.
And I wanted us to get some time to dive into that. And maybe that dovetails a little with psychological safety. I'm not sure. But you, Lisa, you do what you do so well. And tell us about that concept and let's talk about it.
Yeah. So again, you know, working with people, our fears inhibit us from making change. We like to stay in the status quo, in the safe zone. But again, we've got to be able to try new things. And I always, you know, one of the first questions I ask in a classroom is, you know, like I said earlier, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? And there's so many grand ideas. So then I coach on, well, what's one thing we could do today to be afraid? You know, and we tell and create these huge stories in our brains as to why we can't. And I'm like, well, let's focus on why we can. You know, what is that one thing you could do today to, you know, and going back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, that 1%. So focusing on just really, you know, try something new today. You know, I always ask people in the next 30 days, try at least 2 things that you would never try and work through the fear. You know, with my counseling masters, that's what we do, is really work on, you know, how do we desensitize people and how do we flood them? You know, we had a whole show back in my day called Fear Factor, where you put people in their big fear zone and then help them process and work through it so they can overcome the fear. I like to try that with, you know, your jobs, your business, the speaking up at a meeting. It's so amazing how many people are scared to share an idea because they're like, oh, somebody's going to say you tried that 12 years ago and it didn't work. And, you know, you're worried about judgment. I'm like, don't worry. People are judging you. They are. And it's just, you know, okay. Thanks for your input. I'm going to keep moving forward and, you know, helping people move through that. Because I think we have a lot of people that get into this mindset of people pleasing and having to be what everybody expects them to be. And then we have resentment when we get older because we didn't do what we wanted to do. So, you know, I love talking to experienced people and I say, what would you do different? And they'll always tell me, you know, I shoulda. I don't want anybody to have a I shoulda, you know, type of thing. So that's a little bit about the do it afraid. Have you guys done anything lately afraid? Have you gotten outside your comfort zone lately?
I'm joking.
Kids would be a fear.
Yeah. I'm joking and probably giving myself too much credit, but I genuinely do feel like every day at work is a bit fearful. I mean, and I think I'm very qualified and experienced and bring a lot to the table, you know, so like I'm confident, but also like feel like, and I need to do more. I need to continue to push myself and continue to be afraid for sure. But I mean, as the executive director here at Exclamation, like a big part of my role is like relationships with our board and seeking out new clients and things like that. And those are all, I mean, I've served in capacities like that in the past, but to be like mainly accountable for it and always working with new people and stuff, you know, there's a constant, like, what are they going to think of me? How do they think that I'm doing my job well? Is what I'm sharing with them what they want to hear? You know, like all these things. And to your point, like, I guess the worst that happens is you're working with someone that's narrow-minded, that all they'll do is judge you and not look to the good that you're doing and things like that, you know? So, yeah, I suppose there's maybe always a little bit of a fear of that, but we've got great people around us too that are supporting us and keeping us comfortable in some fear too, you know?
Which is great. That's awesome, mm-hmm. You know, because I think that's the key.
I want to hear Sue's answer to that question.
I think Sue is looking to get out of that question. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ben knows my answer to that question. So, Lisa, I'm running for state assembly.
Ooh.
And I was telling him yesterday, I melted down over the weekend. I temporarily became non-functional because I am an introvert. I am not a networker. And I have been doing nothing for the last month and a half, but going to strange places with people I don't know, striking up conversation, and that has been constant for me. So, and everything associated with running for office, totally new to me. Everything is, I hate to use the word fear because, there is something about that makes it feel negative. What I want to do with this is this to be a growing and learning experience for me. And probably most importantly, see how I can grow through this, that I can help people younger than me do the same thing. Because I really don't want a whole bunch of old gray hairs. A bunch of snow-capped folk, always being the ones running for office. So, yes, I am doing things that are scaring me on a regular basis.
But that's amazing. I mean, that's so awesome. But your passion, you know, you've got the passion that's going to drive it. And I love the way you reframe it, you know, because you're right. We don't want fear to take over. It's just an opportunity. You know, people always ask me, do you get nervous when you talk in front of 600 people? And I say, I don't get nervous. I get excited. Mm-hmm. And so it's just reframing in my brain. Yeah, my heart rate's beat. And, you know, people are a little scary, but I love that you're reframing it. And good luck.
Well, thank you.
I'm excited for you. I love it.
So, Sue, is now the time to interject psychological safety, or should I move us along?
I think psychological safety could work right here. Let's talk about it. Really interested in that.
So it's perfect because psychological safety is really what you're doing. You're getting outside that comfort zone and hoping that you can share ideas where people won't retaliate against you, or you can share your thoughts where people won't humiliate you. It's where you feel safe to be able to be your real self and showcase and highlight what you bring to the table, what gifts you have. And, you know, organizations that take time to do check-ins with people and allow them the chance to be their authentic self and their genuine self have much stronger cultures and lower turnover and greater productivity. So we have to foster psychological safety where we say, you know what, Sue, what's your biggest strength that you bring to the table? What can I do to support that? And, you know, I think maybe you and I have differences of opinions on this, but what do we need to do to move forward versus, oh, Sue, that's the dumbest idea. That's never going to work. I don't know why you're thinking you could do this because you're never going to be successful. And you have there's meetings where people talk like that to each other, and then they wonder why their business isn't growing or why it's not thriving. Well, you're not creating an opportunity to have crucial conversations in a safe space where we can honor each other's opinions and differences, but then have a shared meaning to move forward. You know, and the fact that you're going into the political arena, that's the biggest opportunity for psychological safety right now. To be able to honor the differences, but say, you know what, we have a common goal and here's what it is. And what do we need to do to work together to make that happen, even though we have differences of opinions? So that's psychological safety. And that's at organizational level. That's at our own level where it's like, should I say something? What if they think it's not right? You know, and so we have to talk ourselves in the idea that it's okay to share some thoughts. You know, there may be people that get offended, but if that's not your intention and you go in with good attitude of curiosity, we can really grow. And so that's why I'm a strong proponent of psychological safety, because I think it helps reduce a lot of frustration and it opens up for us to have good conversations. And I think that's the key to human life is having good conversations. So congratulations on that. So that's my belief system in the area of psychological safety. And there's many people that are speaking on that right now.
Yeah. Love that. I think that is the thing that we continually work with on our team. We have a really great team of creators. And along with that group of creative people, we have some that are really intensely introverted. And to continue to build, we really want to build a culture where we can have open and honest discussions with each other and pull out what people are really thinking and really maintain that attitude of curiosity and collaboration. It's not always easy to keep that open culture. So if you, best couple of bits of advice for teams that maybe struggle with that idea of psychological safety, don't know how to step their toe into building that more inclusive culture of safety, what would you tell them to do first?
So one of the big things is if you don't have the psychological safety, there's a trust issue. So, you know, there's a great book out there, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, where they talk about the importance of building some trust. Building some trust requires us to take some time to be able to highlight to each other some of the strengths that we see, and then maybe some of the opportunities that we see. So, hey, you know what? I think you're bringing this to the table. I love when companies can start with, what do we need to keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to get to our goal? And for my introverted friends, please send those questions ahead of time so they have time to think about it. Please don't put them on the spot in a meeting and ask them to share their thoughts. That is the most traumatic experience for an introvert who maybe doesn't trust somebody. So give questions ahead of time. Hey, when we come to this meeting, I'd love for you to bring one idea that we can keep doing, stop doing, or start doing to hit this goal this week. And so that would be something. And then the trust factor is, you know, asking some high impact questions. There's an activity where I have people, you have 1 minute And you have 1 minute to ask as many questions as you can. The person is not going to respond to you. You just got to ask as many questions as you can. And then that person, after that minute is up, has 2 minutes to answer whatever questions they feel comfortable answering. And it gives you a chance now to open up some of the dialogue to be able to understand a little bit more about each other. And I ask people, you know, you have 1 minute, find out as much as you can about your colleague, what makes them tick, what's important to them. If we have conflict, what's the best way for us to work through it? It's amazing what you can learn with 1 minute of good, high impact questions. And too many times we just assume, well, they're quiet, so they don't care. Well, they're quiet because you didn't give them time to speak or you didn't give them time to reflect. So don't automatically just make an assumption. So, but we have those differences. So that would be something that I would recommend, just starting with building some trust. And trust starts when we know what the expectations are. So this is what great looks like today. This is what good looks like. This is what we need to work on it and get clear on your expectations. So, yeah.
So this feels like, I don't know, both like an odd question to ask you, and also you're like the perfect person to ask this question to. So to level set a little bit, one of the big projects that we're working on this year is writing a book about purpose in marketing. So what would you say is your purpose in what would you say is your purpose for doing what you do?
Yeah. I love purpose. We all have to have a purpose statement. My purpose is to help people feel happy and fulfilled in their personal and professional lives. I want them to shine. I want them to see their strengths and have their heart and innovate and network and empower. And the purpose every day that gets me out of bed is that there's individuals who out there who are stuck and paralyzed by fear. And I want to empower them to be able to see their strengths and see the difference that they can make and showcase to them that if they didn't share their story or their ideas, how might our world be different? And if they did share their ideas, how might the world be different? And how do we bridge the gap? So, you know, to me, I've always been blessed. I've been loving what I do. And there's so many people I meet that are like, oh, I only have 365 more days to retirement, or, you know, they're living and wishing their life away. And I'm like, why not love the life you're living every day? And so my purpose is to help people re-spark their passion for what they do, and then to really believe in themselves to be able to overcome the fear. So I would love to have a world free of fear, free of fear of judgment, a fear of, you know, failure. I'd love for us to just use it as a tool, give us a chance to have opportunities. So that's my purpose.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So sidebar here, speaking of this world, and the amount of fear that exists, and, you know, we kind of, to not get too political, but, you know, we talked a little bit about the political environment right now and everything, which I think, you know, aspects of that can be applied to work environments, cultural environments in other places, home, you know, et cetera. What do you think is like the biggest opportunity to get us past this? Like, you know what I'm talking about. I don't think I need to put like words and labels, divisiveness, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the stuff that's going on right now that's bringing a ton of yuck to the world. Like you've probably mentioned a lot of great things already, that if we just made a small incremental change in the categories of trust and communication and stuff, that's probably a great place to start. But what's the world need right now? Help us solve it all.
Yeah, I know, right? I think we all have to kind of sit back and think about this. But to me, I think it's just truly going back to an attitude of curiosity, and have the conversations. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to talk about politics or religion. Well, when we don't talk about it, then we create stories and we create negativity. Let's have some functional, good, healthy conversation about our differences and what do we need to do to meet that common goal. So just truly civility, truly just being able to say, you know what, I appreciate you, even though you think differently than I do. You know, what do we have in common? There's a strategy out there called getting to yes. And whenever you have a crucial conversation, we've got to find the yes that we both want, and then focus on that yes. What do we want that to be? And what can I do from my perspective? And what can you do from your perspective to meet that goal? And I think once we have a common goal of what we truly see, then we can start having some of those tough conversations in a functional way, you know, not the yelling and screaming and the mudslinging and the hate, but truly like we have the same thing in common, you know, like, so yeah. We have different ways to get there, but we have the same thing. So what can we do together to unify? You know, that's my philosophy on life. And I think that's a counselor perspective, because that's what we were always trying to do. You know, I had to do some interim practicum in the marriage arena. I think that's probably why I'm single. I never got married because it's like, oh my gosh, you're fighting over toilet paper. Really? Which way it goes? This is what your marriage has become. But again, you know, just you want to get to the yes. Then how do we do it, even though we do it differently? And, you know, surround yourself with people who think differently than you. And that's going to give you a great opportunity to learn. And that's, I think we just get too much in our my bias. You know, my way bias is controlling a lot of stuff. And it's like, no, my way doesn't always have to be the right way. Let's take attitude. So I'll get off my soapbox now. That's just, I'm like, civility and, you know, get us to a yes. And then honor each other's differences and have some good conversations. We don't have good enough conversations.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Get mad and take my ball and I'm going home. You know,
right. It's like... yeah. I love everything that you're saying. And, you know, it's almost, I don't know if I can say it's cliche now, because if it were cliche, maybe we'd be doing a little bit better of a job at it. But like when we do have those conversations, you wind up finding out that you have so much more in common with people than what your biases make different between you and things like that, you know? So it's, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm so hopeful that through, you know, civility in conversations, everything that you're saying, like we can get to whatever better is, you know what I mean?
Well, and there's tons of research out there that we, no matter who we are, we have three things in common. Yeah. We all want to have a sense of achievement. We all want to feel like we're doing better today than we were yesterday. We all want to be affiliated with something that makes a difference or is bigger than ourselves. And we all want to have a little bit of control or a sense of control where, you know, this is what we have control over. So, you know, we focus so much on differences. It's like, let's, like you said, you know, let's focus on the three things we have in common. You know, we all want to do something that makes a difference. We all want to be a part of an organization or a part of a family or a structure that makes a difference. And we want to be able to make some decisions where we can say yes or we can say no and not have fear of retaliation. So, yeah, love it.
Before we wrap up, how can people learn more about you? Or are there other things you want us to connect them to that we can do via a very handy link when we share this out?
Sure. I would love for you to come visit my website, my email, lisa@shinemyfriends.com. So my website is shinemyfriends.com. And again, you can get hooked up with me. We can sign you up for a letter, newsletter that goes out. You can find me on the social medias at Shine with Schaefer. Again, my LinkedIn profile as well, connect there. We've got I'm so excited. I'm combining my passion for travel and the beach with the importance of building your own successful mindset. I'm doing a Thrive and Shine retreat in Vero Beach, Florida, coming up in November. So partnering with a friend of mine from the Chicago region who actually just sold her an IT company. She developed and created an entire organization for logistics for HVAC groups. And so we're bringing like-minded women together to be able to focus on what we can do to continue to lead our organizations and grow. So I can share more things about the Thrive and Shine retreat coming up November 6th through the 9th. So visit us or check me out on any of those social platforms, Shine with Schaefer, or again, shinemyfriends.com.
Love it.
Awesome.
And that, you know, I just want, let me put a bug in your ear, Ben. That would be an excellent thing for the CUSA to pay for me to do on starting November 6th with the election being November 5th. I think that would be a perfect time for me to do a retreat.
I'm so glad that you threw that out there while we're recording and for everyone to hear. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. And I love it. That's great. That would be a great way for you to start with your setting the goals and then what we can continue to do to help those goals grow. I love it.
So many nodding heads right now. Okay, this is great. Very swiftly move us along to our wrap up, our Something Awesome segment. where we share recommendations for cool experiences, books we've read, anything awesome, right? And in true tradition, I'll kick us off. I just had a week away from the office, which was fantastic. Some time at home, some time camping. And while we were camping up in northern Wisconsin, one of my favorite things to do up there is to hit the Vilas County bike trail system, which is like 50 plus miles of paved, amazing bike trail through the woods and alongside some beautiful roads up there. So the link that we'll be sharing is to a page that shares some detail about that trail system, maps and all that good stuff. So if it's something that you haven't done and you don't need to be like road biker, crazy, biking, you don't have to bike all 50 miles at a shot. We had our kids with us. We bike 8, I think. But just had an absolute blast. And like I said, if you care or appreciate nature at all, you won't be disappointed because it's just so beautiful up there and really well maintained and everything, super safe and all of that. So yeah, get up to northern Wisconsin, and there's a really cool stretch of trail between, actually there's a trailhead at Highway M and N, and you can just Google M and N trailhead and you'll get there. And that's the stretch that we did. I think it's actually 7.5 miles from there, right into the heart of Boulder Junction, where there's food and drink and all that good stuff. So you can reward yourself with a beer or a ice cream cone, whatever you want when you get there. Mm-hmm. So use that as your carrot.
Nice. Why not both? Perfect
timing. I love it. I'm heading up north next weekend, so thank you. I have my bike ready to go. So Sweet. Except I use an e-bike, so don't judge.
That's okay. We saw a lot of e-bikes on the trail for sure. They're super sweet. So instead of 7.5, you can maybe do 14 with some electric power behind you.
Maybe all 50 if I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, Lisa, what do you got anything? Were you prepared?
Something awesome right now. So I live down by Platteville, and I am right on the border of Iowa as well, and RAGBRAI is happening. So something awesome is to check out RAGBRAI. So especially if you're tapping into that, because that is on my goal. I'm going to be doing that afraid next year. I have that as a goal. So if you haven't heard about it, it's again a bike ride that goes all the way across the state of Iowa. And so that's going to be something awesome to check out. They're doing it this week. And then Wisconsin wise, everything in Wisconsin, I think is something awesome. I'm going to be coming to Madison for the Water Lantern Festival. So it's going to be on the lake coming up the third Saturday of August. So excited to be able to do the Water Lantern Festival. So definitely check that out on your Madison arena. So, and I love being a tourist in my own state. So finding little things all over the place. Wisconsin is beautiful. I love everything about it and all the water and again, being outdoors. So that's my something awesome.
That's fantastic. That, you know, I think what is great about where we're located, Ben and I are in the central area. And really, I think this applies to a lot of places in Wisconsin, that there is always somewhere you can go in a direction any weekend and find something to do almost all year long. And there's so much cool stuff to get involved with. Yeah. Love it. So speaking of which, I can't believe, Ben, that I was really, really, down on myself because I couldn't think of anything. And I can't believe this is not the thing I thought of immediately. So I was telling you ahead of time, my family volunteers at the Iola Old Car Show every year. And last weekend was Iola Old Car Show time. And I was telling Ben ahead of time that I was going to meet Henry Winkler. That we had a plan that I was going to meet Henry Winkler. So we bought his book. My husband got me his book so we could get an autograph. We stood in line for 2 hours in the hot, hot sun. And it was everything that I dreamed of and more, meeting Henry Winkler. He signed our book. He shook my husband's hand. He wrote my husband's name wrong because the guy told him my husband's name's Brian. He thought he said Ryan. He wrote Ryan and Suzanne, and then he crossed it out and wrote Brian and handed it to him and said, and this is the only one in Wisconsin like this. And then he turned to me. He took my hand. he looked me directly in my eyeballs and said, "Thank you so much for coming out to see me. I love your glasses."
I guess.
And I said, "You are an absolute delight." And then he said, "You are a delight too." And then he hugged me, you guys.
Oh my God.
I got to hug Henry Winkler, hug the Fonz. It was a transcendent moment for me. And I might never recover from that. It was,
I love it,
wonderful.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
That is great. Coming back into the office on Monday, Sue greeted me with this big warm hug since I'd been away, and it was a really, really great hug. But I have to say, hugging the Fonz, I get it, probably tops that. Yeah. All day. Yeah.
He might have activated my huggingness.
Yeah, got it.
I might have needed to be recharged with my hugging. And so that might actually have been a hug from the Fonz, technically.
Totally. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. How fun.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. This has been absolutely delightful. I feel like we jumped around and just picked every part of your brain that we possibly could. but it was so, you really ran with it. And this is just sometimes how we are. So thank you so much for running with it with us. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in and listening to this great interview with Lisa. I hope that you will come back and talk to us some more whenever you feel like you want to share anything. And we will try to keep a through line for you next time you come back.
Hey, my brain thinks like this was great. It was great.
Awesome. Well, you can, so listeners, you can always catch up with us on your favorite podcast app, or you can find all of our episodes on our blog at exclamationcuso.com/blog.
Awesome. Thanks, Sue. And thanks again, Lisa, for being here. I'm certain that our paths will cross again in the future. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in. Be awesome. And we'll see you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.